Welcome to Own It from Women Lead Change. I'm Mackenzie Caligiuri, marketing specialist and podcast producer. On today's episode, CEO and host Tiffany O'Donnell talks to Dr. Kit Evans-Ford, who is passionate about nonviolence, God, and serving others. She has been a trainer and activist for 14 years, working relentlessly in the areas of nonviolence education and assisting people in healing from violence and abuse. Dr. Kit is a Teach for America and United States Peace Corps alumni. She's an adjunct professor in the Department of Theology at St. Ambrose University and is also the founder of Argro's House of Healing and Hope in Davenport. Argro's House is a safe space where free services are offered daily for women healing from violence and abuse in the greater Quad Cities area. It is also a successful social enterprise where women healing from violence and abuse create beautiful bath products that provide a living wage for themselves in a safe space that celebrates who they are.
Dr. Ford, thank you so much for joining us on the Own It podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, for having us.
And we catch you on a really exciting day. You want to just give us an idea of what's happening in your world today?
Yeah. So we are launching a storefront on Utica Ridge Road here in Davenport, right on the border of Davenport and Bettendorf. And it's a beautiful, beautiful space we've created where our bath and body products, other survivor made products will be sold. But it's a shared space for my other company. Both of my children have autism. And so I invented with a team of engineers and graphic illustrators a line of chewable jewelry pendants for kids with autism. So FDA approved. And the unique thing about my pendants is that they have the beautiful faces of our babies on them. And so they each have names, and one is my son, Justice, and one is my daughter, Imani. I wanted them to be able to wear something that celebrates them, affirms them, but they can also chew it when they need it because of their sensory processing disorder. So it's been a great day. A lot of good support, and we have another ribbon cutting in just a couple hours. So we're excited.
I'm excited for you. Does anything like this exist? This is the first I've heard of this. You may be more familiar.
Chewable jewelry and silicone pendants do exist, but I'm the first to invent a line that has the faces of our children on them to celebrate diversity and culture and our kids in their own unique way. So they can wear something and chew, but they can also feel proud of who they are by wearing the pendant as well. So today's a good day. Women Lead Change has been amazing over the years with Argo's House. We've been able to set up vendor tables and like a community table at your conference. And, I think when I first got to the Quad Cities years ago, I may have spoken, I'm not sure, but this was like 9 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was able to connect with so many women. It's such a great networking space, but really an inspiring space where women can just encourage each other, learn from each other, affirm each other. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think it's always interesting to me, and I'd be interested to hear what your experience has been when you do things that you are passionate about. The community that follows, this is just, clearly, your storefront and the work that you do is a part of your family and it supports your family. How does it feel to have others, sort of exhale when they meet you and say, I'm there too, now we have someone else, that community. What does that feel like?
Yeah. Thing about me, like my background, I'm a community development worker and I'm a chaplain. I'm an ordained like clergy person. And so, for me, business, we call it social enterprise. Some call it justice enterprise. So we create businesses to make profit, right? But we also create businesses to serve marginalized communities and oftentimes to even employ marginalized communities. And so, the work that we do is very intentional. With the storefront, you know, our products are here, they're beautiful, but there's also a 12-foot table that has 12 seats around it because we want to make sure that families are able to get there, autism parents, service providers, but also women survivors when they want to come here and be in community together. We wanted to have that space. You know, the dressing rooms in the back of the space, we turned them into sensory rooms. And the vision is to have really high tech sensory and resources for kids with sensory challenges, but also kids who are nonverbal, having augmented communication devices and things for them to be able to learn from and play with, you know. And so, you know, when I think about community, you know, I think about business, but I also think about how oftentimes with Argus House and with Autistic in Love, we're intentional. The reason we do this is about the product and a need and fulfilling a need and filling a need connected to business. But it's also about bringing people together so that they have safe spaces to be able to get resources, but also feel supported.
Mm-hmm. Is this work you always imagined you would be doing in some way?
No.
Imagine that.
I know.
How did this all evolve? Tell us your story.
Yeah, well, I think that for me, you know, I've taken life one step at a time. And I think as life happens, you know, my work has kind of unfolded, you know, connected to life and life purpose, you know, but my journey, I mean, I'm kind of talking two different things. I think I may be on here because of my work with Argus House, but Argus House is my longer, you know, social enterprise that's been in existence for 6 years now here in the Quad Cities region. And I'm blessed to be a part of like a global shared trade council where I work with other survivor artisan partners around the world. There are 32 organizations that we work with. So we have a subscription box with Argus House. So we buy and trade, and we have monthly trainings together and conference calls to support each other as our businesses grow with intention. But yeah, I'm from a small town in North Carolina, you know, grew up and like a matriarchal family, so many women and strong women in my family. But there was also those who were in relationships, there was a lot of abuse, right? And so growing up, I saw abuse with my grandmother, with my mom, with my older siblings. Even in the midst of abuse, the women were still very kind and very mission oriented and always wanted to share love with us the best that they could in the midst of their circumstance, especially my grandma Argo. So Argus House is named after my dear grandmother. She married at the age of 14. My grandfather was 27 at the time. And though, you know, I remember a lot of positive things about him, there were also some very intense realities connected to violence against my grandmother. And so I know that if there was a place like Argus House for us, we have a healing house where women and children can live for free for up to a year. We have a counseling center now in the Esperanza Center where we have free massage therapy, domestic violence support groups. We have art therapy, other types of therapy throughout the month. And then we have two storefronts, a workspace. You know, the unique thing about Argus House is that we are a bath and body company that employs women, you know, survivors. And so, you know, we're able to employ women, help them get back on their feet, not just financially, but also holistically, providing them with support, mind, body, and spirit, which we're really grateful to be able to do that. But, you know, for me, this work goes, you know, deep. It's not just something that I do, you know, when I was young, because I saw this reality within my family. As a teenager, I wanted to be a part of something that was helping to change these type of systems because it was like a cycle you know, that I saw in my family. And I wanted to know that there was something different. So I joined an organization when I was young called SAVE, Students Against Violence Everywhere. I learned about peer mediation, conflict resolution, and all of that kind of thing, and became their spokesperson when I was a teenager. You know, went to college and was able to do a lot of really good things around the arts and communication and things of that nature. Did Teach for America, and then went to Peace Corps. You know, there was always this kind of pattern for me with wanting to serve women and marginalized communities. And even when I was a teacher, I still kind of saw the pattern of, you know, vulnerable girls, vulnerable boys being abused in different ways, or wanted to be a part of that solution that helped, especially women and children. And so I went to the Peace Corps when I was young, continued this work in the Eastern Caribbean on an island called St. Kitts and Nevis. Beautiful. If you've been there before, I'm so glad you have. We call it the Sugar Island. You know, white sand. If you've taken an Eastern Caribbean like cruise, you probably have stopped there.
I've never been, but it looks beautiful.
Oh yeah, turquoise ocean and white sand, beautiful people, and you know, it was becoming really my second home. A really beautiful space, and I had, you know, really nurtured a lot of good relationships there. I still do. But during my time there, you know, I was doing really good work around women in politics, women in entrepreneurship, women in education. And I was a young woman. This was probably mid-20s. But during that time, unfortunately, I became a survivor of an extremely violent sexual assault. And so much of the work that I had done with others, I had to figure out how to apply those things to myself, you know. You know, this guy was a serial rapist. And so I had to, me and another woman went back to the island after leaving for a medical treatment testified, and he received 46 years in prison. You know, so for me, you know, I was working for the government. I was receiving the best possible counseling and legal services and all these different things, even had a bodyguard, you know, protecting me during the trial and things like that. Most people don't receive that type of care. And even in the midst of that, it was still very traumatic, right? And so, you know, after this, you know, continued to study. And so, but most of, you know, I was working to understand what would help me in this dark situation. So all of my research and everything that I was doing shifted to what helps people in healing from trauma, what helps people along this healing journey to be able to get back on their feet and get back on solid ground. And so, you know, years of studying and, you know, speaking about my own personal experience and healing and, you know, writing this paper and my graduate thesis. And it was like this Women's Center for Healing and Hope. Then learning about social enterprise, I didn't know that 10 years later, I would be working to put that paper into practice in the Quad Cities, right? You know, I met my husband a little over 10 years ago and came here. And so I had no idea I was writing that paper for this context. And so, you know, incredibly grateful. I with a team of community members, we started from like $0. I had put out, I had learned, didn't know how to make soap yet, but I went to a couple of classes at the time. I was teaching theology at St. Ambrose, had a little baby on my hip. I said, well, I want to start a bath and body business. I learned about Thistle Farms, and my mentor now, Reverend Becca Stevens in Nashville, they were the first social enterprise in the country that housed women survivors, but then made absolutely beautiful candles and lotions and other things. And so when I was a student, in Berkeley, I had visited Nashville, and I learned that a woman could be ordained clergy, she could be a chaplain, she could have a healing house for women, but she could also start a business to employ them. I'm like, whoa, wicked.
Wow.
Thing.
Beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, so to know, to see another woman doing that, and to know that we could do ministry in that way, we could do business in that way, and we could do it with excellence, with compassion, with love, and sustain it and grow it. It was just a really a gift to be able to have that seed planted over 10 years ago. So with that knowledge, I started taking bath bomb making classes at night at Crafted Quad Cities in Davenport, learned about essential oils, found a couple of mentors. One of them who lives in St. Kitts makes absolutely beautiful soaps and natural products. Her name's Anastasia. We started Argos House. We put out on social media when we first started. We said, okay, we got the house. Actually, it was a church that put up one of their mortgages for us to buy the house, though we were able to pay it off within 2 years. It was the church that actually helped us and stepped out on faith for us to get that first property. It was the church also that bought our first, gave us our first $10,000 to hire our first employee and to also buy our first barrels of coconut oil. Many years later, not that many years, 6 years later, the community has just rallied behind us to support us and keep us going. And it hasn't always been easy. This work is can be intense. We're working with trauma survivors daily. And we also run a business as well. So we have to learn how to balance both, making sure that we're providing the best services that we can for our ladies, but also making sure that our business continues to maintain, grow, and thrive so that we can literally continue to help save lives. So, it's been a blessing. It's been a journey, but this is part of my soul work, and this is part of my family. This is part of, this is one of the reasons why I was put on this planet. And so it makes it's work, but it's also a gift to be able to do this.
Elevate your career through Mount Mercy University's Master of Strategic Leadership program. You'll explore leadership styles, study decision-making models, examine change management, reflect on a growth mindset, and hone your personal brand through our practical curriculum. Expand your professional network, grow as a leader, and graduate ready for the next level of your career. Explore our program at mtmercy.edu/msl.
How important is the work to the healing process, do you think, for the women at Argos House?
Yeah, well, I think it's important because, I think when people are abused for extended amounts of time, it does something to the ego. It does something to the soul. Someone isn't affirmed, when someone is told that they're nothing, when someone's told that they cannot. I always say that you would think that we were cutting diamonds in the kitchen. Oh my goodness, look at that bath bomb. Oh, look at that soap is gorgeous. Great job, because they are doing a great job. But part of that affirmation is to help them build that confidence up so that they can spread their wings, so that they can heal those wings, spread those wings and fly for themselves and also for their children. So I think it's very important. It not only puts money in their pocket, and we pay a good living wage. We make sure that we pay our ladies a good living wage. So putting money in their pocket while having respectable employment, and also prayerfully a safe environment that allows them to get back on their feet and find that confidence again.
Wow. How many women do you estimate you've helped directly?
Yeah. So, we help women in different ways. We employ women, but then we house women. But then there's also, we get referrals daily where women call and they may need a resource. We may have that resource, or we may refer them out, as it relates to the resource. But, over the years, we've helped hundreds of women in different capacities. But right now we actively serve, at one time, because women are a part of a community. We have like 50 kids right now and 32 women that we talk to every single day. And so that number fluctuates, you know, and again, it's different because we provide services to the community. So we get calls, you know, but then there are women that see this community and they want to be a part of the community and they come into the community and we work to hold them in community, not just for 21 days or for even a year, but for, you know, a lifetime if that's what they mm-hmm. desire. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a lot of beauty in that as well.
Wow. What would you tell your younger self?
What would I tell my younger
self? There's so much wisdom here, Dr. Ford, and we have all ages that listen to the Own It podcast. And you know, I think it's always so interesting to hear, you know, as you said, it was a surprise where you ended up where you ended up. Mm-hmm. I just wonder what you would tell your younger self.
Yeah. Well, the thing about me is that I have no regrets because, well, maybe one, but I don't have too many regrets because I've always just done, I've been a kind of like a follower of heart kind of person my whole life, which has been a blessing. I've always gone where I wanted to go. I've always done what I felt like my soul was calling me to do. I didn't know that that was my soul at the time, but one thing I would tell myself is to not take myself too seriously. Mm-hmm. It's been, you know, I'm getting a little less serious as I grow up and get older, but you know, I've always been kind of, you know, school, this, do this, 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 get mm-hmm. this done, get this done, this mission, this purpose, this, you know, and I haven't always you know, made the time for self-care and self-love. I mean, I've always taken very good care of myself, but this summer I'm learning more about what it means to take care of my soul. Mm-hmm. But I think it's different when you're getting a facial. Facials are great and I love them. But when you're doing things that actually nurture your soul and your heart that helps to sustain you, you know, it's a little different from certain things that I've done to say, okay, yeah, I'm practicing self-care. So I'm learning that for myself now. And I do wish I would have learned that 20 years ago.
So you're not alone, Dr. Ford. Yeah. We hear that quite a bit on the Own It podcast. Speaking of that, our final question on every podcast is, you know, what do you consider your superpower and how do you own it?
Yeah. My superpower would be multitasking. I can do like 8 things at one time. It's not always a good thing, but you know, I can multitask pretty impressively. How do I own that? I own that by starting 2 businesses and putting them under one roof in a creative way.
Yep, you're doing it. Absolutely. Well, an exciting day for you, Dr. Ford, and the Quad Cities is just beyond blessed that you've chosen to set roots there, and certainly the countless women and families who've benefited. You are a blessing. So thank you for taking time out of your busy day, and best of luck in all you do.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for your time. And thank you to Women Lead Change for the good work you do. We look forward to seeing you soon. Okay.
Thank you to all who attended the Womanly Change Conference Des Moines. It was a record-breaking event, and we couldn't do it without our sponsors, attendees, and volunteers. Thank you. Did you hear? The Womanly Change Conference Quad Cities is sold out. We are looking forward to having a room full of leaders on November 14th. See you there. Follow Womanly Change on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Please give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it so much. More information and tickets can be found at wlcglobal.org.